buddy. On Monday nights, I'm down there when I share. We have a School of Supernatural class, and Rachel Hickson will be here on that Monday night, so you are all invited to come back. She judges you on Saturday and Sunday. You can get another dose on Monday night, so come on back to that meeting. But, I'm a little nervous this morning, but I know that God has called me to do something, and it's to share my heart. It's something that God has worked in my life that I need to do more. Open that thing up and let people see it. And so I'm going to try to do that today for you guys, because God is doing something that I'm a part of and that you are all a part of. And it's so much easier if we cooperate. And so the big idea I have is that we are in a transition. God is using this to grow us and mature us. That's key. Because he's not just doing that because he wants to do something, but he has a goal in mind for each one of us. And this morning, I hope that through the Holy Spirit, you'll be motivated to take your place and to grow and to mature and to be the person that God has created you to be. And so how can we make the most of that? So my points are not really huge. I don't think you're going to want to write down the points, but I want you to pull your announcement sheet out, get a pencil handy or pen, because I believe God is going to speak to you one or two things that you need to wrestle with, and that's the key this morning. I want to poke a few buttons, get you a little uncomfortable, so that God can work on you, okay? We always want to be comfortable, but sometimes God wants us to be uncomfortable, and this morning he's asking me to help you be a little uncomfortable. So if you want to be mad and uncomfortable with me, that's fine, I don't care, but God is doing it, it's not me. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask for your anointing to come this morning. I ask that you would use my words and the concepts that you've given me to strengthen the church. And Father, I ask that the spirit of prophecy would be here, that each one of them could hear and see exactly what's being spoken to them, that there be no miscommunication, no distraction from the enemy, but they would hear exactly what they need to hear so that you can bring them to maturity and strengthen the body of Christ at Harvest Community Church. Because you have a destiny and a calling for us, and we want to cooperate with it. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I told somebody that it's probably not going to be your normal Sunday morning service. Okay? Hallelujah. You know, one thing that I like, I don't get to do this very often, because when I'm up here, I have my eyes closed and I'm prophesying. But you guys are a wonderful group of people. You're just beautiful. God loves you so very, very much. And I'm excited that I can be up here. 35 minutes, okay? One thing, as I was walking in this morning, it's just like God said, you could go so many different places. And then they prophesied over me that there's tracks that I can take detours and go on, and some of them are good and some of them aren't. So I'll try to stay on the good ones and not go down any of the dead ends, but God is doing something. So my first point is, what has God spoken to you? To me personally, I'm going to share my story. One of the things he said is to step up. Prophetically, God spoke to Rita and I that we're going to be an important part of the shift, that we're key players, and like Steve said, that we are pillars here in the church, and God has called us here for our purpose and a destiny, and today, this time, is one of those times when God has asked me to step up and press into the things, even though I'm uncomfortable, and that's what God wants to do. He's also put more love in Rita and my heart for this church, for each one of you to see you prosper and to come into your destiny. You know, it's not enough that a few of us, that the elders come into their destiny, and then Harvest will come into its destiny. It's important that each one of us comes into our destiny and our calling and fulfills that, and then Harvest will come into its destiny and its calling. And that's my third point, so we'll wait on that. So my first thing that I want you to write down, has God spoken something to you that hasn't come to pass? Is there a prophetic word over you that still is in its infancy state, that God is still trying to bring together? Is there something that's on you that you need to walk into that isn't there? So God, just speak to them. Remind them of those prophetic words, visions, dreams, prophecies, any kind of impression that you've got from God. What is he saying to you? Because he wants to begin to fulfill that. Okay? Some of those words are for on the shelf and for in the past. I mean, for in the future, not right now. But I believe there is some for right now. And if we sit on those words and say, okay, this is for the distant future, I'm not going to worry about that, when God is saying it's for right now, it's for Harvest at this moment. to that? Are we going to sit back and sit on our hands and say, okay, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen? But God's wanting us to step up and press into it. Those work, those hopes and dreams that we have is so important. God is involved in the process. You know, we look at destiny. We look at the end product. We look at that new path. We look at harvest fulfilling its calling. And God has all those things in his mind. But he's also so involved in every little step of the way. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert for 40 years, that was part of a punishment upon them because they didn't enter in when they were supposed to. Okay? We want to be part of the people that enter in when we're supposed to. We don't want to be wandering. We don't want to be in a holding pattern when God says we just need to work a few things out, because a holding pattern is not, we get to our destiny eventually, but it's not God's best for us, and we want to be in tune with God and be in his best. So God's not wasting time, but he's trying to redeem the time and get us to where we need to be, where God has for us. And so let's just ask God, what are those things that God wants to move and move us into? So in 1 Timothy 4:14-15, it says, do not neglect the gifts which were given you through the prophecy by the body of elders when they laid their hands on you. Be diligent to these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone can see your progress. You know, we like that first part where it says, stir it up. Okay, you can do that in your closet. You say, God, do this in me. I'm going to pray. But he's saying, let it be seen so that other people can see your progress. He doesn't say, can I see the completed work when you're mature and everything's working right? No, we need to encourage one another as we stir up those gifts, as we make attempts to stretch out our arms. And if we're praying for the sick or if we're ministering to somebody, it's okay if it doesn't go exactly like we thought. It's okay if you don't get the breakthrough that you thought you were going to get, because God's all in a process. You know, when we prayed for Monica's Graham, you know, we had faith. We knew that God could do a creative miracle. But I have never seen that right through my voice, where I pray for something that's not there to be there, and all of a sudden it's there. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And that's what God wants to do here. He wants to do notable miracles. I've been hearing that and prophesying it, notable miracles, so that people will be drawn in, so that we can help them, so that they can be healed, so they can come into the kingdom of God, so that the kingdom would be advanced, so everything that's going on would be to the glory of God. God is doing something. God is doing something at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. God is doing something over there. People are being touched. If you need something, if you need healing, if you need emotional support, if you need anything, come over there. We'll be glad to pray for you. There's a group of people that love to pray for you. So we want to see your progress. It's not to hide. It's not to shrink back, but it's to see your progress. So the next slide, what are we willing to give up? Now this is the biggie. This is the key point. When I first heard that Steve was going to step down, immediately the first thing that gripped me was, oh, I have a disclaimer I need to say in here. This is not what I believe is going to happen, but this is the fears rearing its head. This is the thing that's going on inside of us that the devil would want us to shrink back and get away from. But actually, we need to confront this thing, speak it out, and identify it as a lie, as a deception of the enemy, so that we can actually overcome that. So knowing that this is not what's going to happen, but this is what I felt. If Steve steps down, what's going to happen to my ministry? What's going to happen to the prophetic team? You know, am I going to have a good relationship with this new guy, this new pastor and his wife? You know, maybe he's going to come in and say, prophecy, I don't like that. I don't like to have it on Sunday morning. We need things to run smoothly. We can't have any interruptions. What happens if he just says the prophetic, you guys go in the corner and do what you want to do, but don't bother me with it. Don't make any waves. You know, I had to wrestle with that a little bit. I had to first identify what I was really feeling, because I didn't want change. I've had to make a choice in the last 2 years of my life not to say the word, I hate change. I don't say it out loud anymore. I haven't really embraced change, but at least I don't admit it out loud. But what is going on inside of you? There's so many things that could come into that relationship. The relationship with Pastor Steve, relationship with the elders. What about the worship team? What if the new, where God son-in-law go to church where there's earplugs available because they like it so loud? What would happen? Would we be willing? Would we wrestle with that and say, if God is doing that here at Harvest, what would we do? Would we leave and find some place where there's quiet worship? Or are we going to say, no, God is doing something here? You know, we know that the preacher is going to preach differently than Steve. What if he has a different style? What if everything up here changes? We have big TV screens and flashing lights and whatever goes on, you know. Part of this all is just have this whole idea of emphasis on a young generation. What about if everything that comes in, what God's wanting to do here is to touch the young generation, the young people, and we just can't connect. It doesn't minister to us. I don't feel comfortable. I feel overwhelmed. All my emotions and my stimulus are just too much for me. I need to get away. But what if that is what God is doing? Are you willing to wrestle with that and say, okay, God, what is my part? How am I going to fit into that? What if you're my age, you're a little bit younger, and you feel like, well, Mom, my generation is being skipped over. You know, Steve is in his 60s, and they want to get somebody in their 30s. You know, I'm not going to be able to relate to this young guy. He's probably not even going to know anything. How am I going to relate to him? We're going to have to train him. We're going to be that church again that has to, you know, train this guy how to be a pastor. You know, what if my generation gets skipped? Am I going to sit back and say, man, I need something for us 50-year-olds. I need something that really meets my needs. What if our generation, we feel like we get skipped? What about to celebrate recovery and the ministry of healing? That's part of what God has brought to Harvest. That's who we are as a storehouse church. But what if this guy comes in and says he wants to tweak that a little bit? He wants to emphasize something else that God is doing. You know, are we going to hold on to our ministry, our thing, and say, no, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to move. You can do whatever you want, but I'm going to go this direction. Okay? Just the whole one, the diet of being uncomfortable. You know, everybody in the United States wants to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We want a nice recliner, a nice chair, warm house, cool house, whatever. If God says, okay, I'm going to do something that's a little uncomfortable, that's going to stretch you, that's going to put you in a place, are we willing to wrestle with those things? One of the things in ancient paths, they talk about leaving and cleaving in marriage. One of the problems in marriages is that if the husband and the wife can't cleave to one another, the marriage can't prosper because one hasn't let go of their parents. They're still looking back to the parent for encouragement, for blessing, for direction, rather than coming together. And I think as this relates to a pastoral search, are we willing to leave what we perceive as all the good things that happened in the past, all the blessings that we've had, all the things that God has brought to Harvest Community Church, all the things that he's done in our lives, the growth that we've had, to say, okay, I'm going to leave that behind and realize that God is calling us to latch on, to cleave to the new thing that he's doing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's always doing something new. He's always got fresh things for us. And so are we going to rest on our laurels, rest on the good things that have happened? Or are we going to say, no, God, I am the one that needs to make a change. I'm the one that's going to move forward. I'm going to go ahead and look to the future and latch on to the new thing that you're doing. We're not latching on to a man, but we're latching on to the vision of what God is doing. And God has called some man to come and lead us, and we need to remember to do that. So if I didn't touch any of your buttons, what else are you holding on to that God wants to touch? Write that down. Is there something else? Some button, something that I talked about or didn't talk about that just really is your heart's desire? Because you're going to have to wrestle. I have two sons that wrestled in high school. And one of the things in wrestling, as you begin to, you know, learn to wrestle, you get focused on you're either wrestling with your hands or you're wrestling with your legs or you're wrestling with your body. And a good wrestler is fighting with his hands and he's wrapping his legs around you and he's twisting and you can't get away. And the first thing you know, you're pinned down. And I think what God wants to do, what he showed me as I was in the shower this morning about wrestling is, we're a three-part being. body, soul, and spirit. Okay? We got our mind, our will, and our emotions. Three parts. We can mentally, with our mind, say, yeah, I'm in this transition. But in our hearts, say, man, I don't feel it. I'm not for it. Or we can emotionally say, yeah, I know this is the right thing. We need to move forward. But in your mind, we're saying, ah, I just don't understand. I wish it was the same it was before. And then there are all the emotional things that are going on inside. But what God wants to work in our hearts as we wrestle through this is that our mind agrees that it's the good thing. That we will, saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do what you're asking us to do. And that then our emotions will follow along, because we can't be led by our emotions. But our emotions are a big thing, and they can get in the way. They can stop us. So God's analogy in the wrestling is that he wants us to use our whole being, our mind, our will, and emotions to get this thing accomplished. Okay? So that means you have to engage everything. You can't just partially engage. You can't just give it mental assent and say, yeah, this is a good thing. I'll sit back and see what happens in 2 years, see if I still like it or not. That's not an option. That is not an option with where we're going. And that brings me to my third point, I think. Yeah, I didn't read my scripture, did I? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses in the heavenly realm and in the natural realm, people are watching us, you know. They are. But what are we going to do? Let us throw off every hindrance and sin. The hindrance is what I'm talking about today. I don't think there's sin that's holding us back, but there's all kinds of hindrances, things, personal preferences that can get in the way. And let us run with perseverance the race that has marked out for us. We definitely have a race that is marked out for us. Okay. So one of the things that Rita and I had to wrestle through is there was a big thing that would have been a major change in our life that God was kind of impressing Rita and impressing me. Would we be willing to make a major change in our life and what's going on? And it wasn't an easy decision. I think it was 2 or 3 months that we talked about it. Rita would keep reminding me and say, you know, what's going on? I believe God is saying this to you. What are you going to do about it? And we had to come to a point where Rita and I could say, Lord Jesus, we don't understand why you'd want to do this in our lives. But if that's what you're saying, we would be willing to lay down my job and do what you've asked us to do. And so what I'm talking about isn't just little minor things. God is calling us to make major changes in our lives, or be willing to make major changes. It's not so much even that we'll make the change, but are we willing to let God make major changes? God is asking us to be pliable. God is asking us to allow him to be Lord. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Yeah, Ephesians 4:15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is jointly held together by every supporting ligament and grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. What about that? Christ is the head. Each one of us doing our part. Joint. Interesting that he didn't say bones, because bones just stand there and do their work. The joints, they have to be a little flexible. They have to move. They have to change. If a joint gets stiff and doesn't move, that's a serious problem. And we can't. We can't allow ourselves to get stiff. We can't get arthritis. What would happen if we body of Christ got arthritis and was stuck in their ways and didn't move forward? You know, arthritis is something the enemy brings to our bodies to keep us from moving. And he wants to do that in the body of Christ. He wants to bring arthritis so that we can't move, so we can't do the work accomplish everything that God has for us. And we can't allow that to happen. Thank you, Lord. Part of that wrestling that you need to do. You know, Jacob wrestled with God. And what happened? He got a new name. He went from Jacob, a supplanter, a deceiver, to being Israel, father of the nation of Israel. And what would happen if he would have given up and said, oh, I can't beat this angel, I can't beat God. God's going to do what he wants to do, and it doesn't matter. But Jacob, it was something within him that God put there, was that desire, that perseverance to press in and to get everything that was his, and even stuff that wasn't his. He was going after everything. He wanted the birthright. He wanted everything. And I believe that now is the time for us to say, to wrestle with those things, to wrestle with God, to get everything that God has for us. And part of that new thing is that new destiny or that new name. You know, Harvest, we've already got a new name. But have we really grabbed a hold of the destiny of what that new name means? Have we grasped that? You know, we have red bags up here. We pray for people to come in. We want to see people saved. It's part of our slogan. It's part of our destiny. And it's part of our calling. But have we wrestled with it in such a way individually that it became who we are? We are harvesters. Harvesters of the kingdom of God. When we look out in the community, do we see people that need to be saved? Or do we see problems, people that need help? Do we see, you know, opportunities? Or do we see, are we pessimistic about that? Do we see places that we don't want to go, things that we don't want to do? I believe one of the callings that God has placed on us and we need to wrestle with is that pride. I want to just say, it's that pacifistic Mennonite conservatism that we're fighting with. And I'm sure that this new guy coming in isn't from Elkhart County, because he wouldn't be that far away. But it's going to be different. It is going to be different. And, you know, Ed, he's different. He's my best friend. But he challenges me because he's different. He doesn't have that same hang-up that I have. He's not afraid of people because he knows who God is through him and that God can touch him. And he's pushed me. Oh, Ed, I'll go ahead and share it. You know, when we were first starting being friends, he told me that, you know, to help me to open up my heart, he kept saying that he loved me. And he loved me. And finally, after years, I could finally reciprocate and say, yeah, I love you. And so just a week or so ago, he decided, well, I'm going to press it to the next level. I'm going to give you a holy kiss. What did that feel like, guys? I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm talking about, guys. You know? Are we willing to press in the holy kiss that's in the Bible? Why would I be afraid of that? He loves me. He cares for me. He prays for me. But hey, he kissed me on the cheek and I go, whoa, baby, what's that's something new. Oh, now I lost my train of thought. Yeah. Okay. Identity and destiny. Say, hey, God's doing something in me and Rita that I think is significant. That God wanting to do something in the church that's significant. And the whole thing is the pastor, the name, the face, his personality is such a minute part of what God is doing. God is really saying, Harvest Community Church, I've moved you to this place and I've chosen this time, 2014. 2015. time and change. You know, we chose, let the future begin. But how many of us feel like that the future's actually begun? Do we feel that? Are we just saying it with our mouth? You know, all year, it's been on my heart that doors are open. There's doors for us to press into. There's things to do. God has, you know, been dealing with me. Unfortunately, Reed and I are going to counseling to deal with issues that we thought we had dealt with, that things were going on, and why do we have to go over it again and again and again? But God is calling Reed and I to a higher level of accountability, to a higher level of maturity and fulfillment, that we need to be in a place where God can use us, where we can be obedient, that we're not afraid of people, that we can press in to everything that God is calling to us. And it's just not Reed and I. I think it's this church. You know, the DNA of Zion Chapel when they started was a bunch of college kids that wanted more of God. They were pressing in. They were not the norm. They were not. They were breaking away from the Mennonites and the Baptists and the conservative part. They wanted to press into the things of the Spirit and everything that God had for them. And now, 30 years later, where God is saying, you've got an established reputation, and are you willing to press into that next level? Are we willing to give up some of the things that we see as stability, as we see as strength, and say, okay, God's not going to take away our strength, but God is going to give us that motivation to go press in and to go farther, to walk out of our comfort zone. I mean, one of the biggest things for me is that comfort zone. I like to know what's going on. I like to know, you know, prophetically, sometimes I have an idea what's going on, and so I can step out in those things. But the worst thing when I'm moving in my prophetic gift is when somebody's standing up here, and it's my turn to prophesy, and it's like there's that TV screen with nothing on it, a blank screen, no idea, no feeling, no word, no nothing. But you know what happens? All I have to do is put my hand out and say, Lord Jesus, what are you doing here? And instantly, God will begin to give me his heart for that person, of how he wants to bless them, how he wants to encourage them, what he's going to do. God doesn't come to us and say, you've got so many problems, I'm not sure I can use you. You know, did you ever read that in your Bible where God looked at somebody and said, what am I going to do? Didn't happen, did it? He usually said, I see something good in you. I see something I'm going to use. I'm going to open up this door of opportunity. I'm going to give you this place. I'm going to give you this place. You know, Caleb and Joshua, when they went in the promised land as spies, they seen some good things that they wanted. And they were the two people that caught the vision of what God was doing, even though everything on the outside looked like it couldn't be accomplished. It couldn't happen. Nobody wanted to enter in. Nobody wanted to be afraid. Nobody wanted to be fed to the giants. Okay? You know? Are we afraid of giants? What giants are we facing? You know, do we feel like if we step out of something, you're going to be fed to giants? You know? That's not a good feeling. That's not a safe place to be. But the thing is, Joshua and Caleb seen the giants and didn't feel like grasshoppers. That's the key. Because they knew who God was. They knew what God wanted to do. They had the vision that God has spoken to each one of us. And that's where I want to end up. I'm going to try to wrap up by the appropriate time. But that's what God wants to do. He wants us to remind us of the vision of Harvest Community Church. Why did he raise a church up here in Goshen, Indiana? Why did we end up on this side of town, right by the fairgrounds? Why did we end up here? Because God has a vision and a calling for us. I remember that there's been prophetic words over Zion Chapel at the time that there were going to be so many people being saved that we would set up speakers in the parking lot and people would stand out there, and as we preached, the overflow crowds wouldn't be in the back or some other room. They would be outside because of the number of people. I remember when Keith Hazel prophesied about being a storehouse church. And that just excited me because what did that mean? Joseph in Egypt was that storehouse that was feeding the whole nation. He knew when to save and he knew when to give away. And God has put so many things in Harvest Community Church. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have all kinds of, we have ancient paths. We have community groups. We have people, right? Oh, I was getting help there for a second. But we have so many things to help people. There's nobody that could come into Harvest Community Church with a problem that we would not have the solution for. And I'm not saying, oh, God has a solution for everything. I'm saying in a practical term, anybody that comes in demonized, you know, sick, ailing, marriage problems, you name whatever think your thing that we can't challenge, God has already placed in Harvest Community Church the answer to that problem. We have the answers. Do you know that? Do you really know that? Yeah, thank you. We do. We're not afraid of what the enemy has done into people's lives, the devastation that he's brought into people's lives, because we have the answer to that. And we have the answer in prayer, and we have the practical answer to walk it out, because it's going to take both of them. We have to walk aside together with people and walk them through these things. It's just not enough for us to pray and say, be healed. You know, be warmed and fed. Go on your way. God is calling us to open up our hearts like I'm doing this morning. Open up our hearts and let people see us as we really are. People aren't looking for perfection. They're looking for people that love. They're looking for people that care. They're looking for people that have time to listen to their problems and give them solutions. They're looking for people that can talk on the phone for 10 minutes. They're looking for people that can point them to the answer. They don't have to have the answer, but they can say, hey, you go talk to somebody. You go talk to Greg. You go talk to Ed. You go talk to Bill. You go talk to Jeannie. You go talk to Jared. You go talk to whoever. You know, we have, God has brought us answers and solutions. We're not lacking for that. What we're lacking is the opportunity to see people set free. And the fields are white unto harvest. Are we going to step into that? Are we? You know, the prophetic word that was spoken, that we're going to be on a wave, and that when this new pastor shows up, he's the one that's going to have to catch up with us. He's not going to be the one responsible to start a wave. He's not going to be the one responsible to get something going so that harvest is moving forward. He's going to be the one that looks at that and says, man, if I could be a part of that, that would be awesome. This church is already doing it. This church is already moving forward. I want to be a part of that wave. I want to get with that. I want to move forward with that. And so, what are we going to do? Are we going to, you know, the saying is, you don't start a wave, you ride the waves. But I really think, for us in particular, we can start a wave. We can say, God, you said you're going to start a wave. I had a vision many, many years ago of God bringing a wave to Zion Chapel. And that wave would come, and the chairs and everything got pushed to the back, and the people were rolling in the waves, pushed up against the back wall. The people were hurt. God was saying, I can't bring that wave right now. You're not ready. But I believe today I can say that we are ready, that the wave of God can come, and we'll be able to stand. We can ride the wave. We're not going to fight against it and let destruction come into our lives, but actually we're going to be like my son was surfing on Lake Michigan yesterday. We're going to get up and we're going to stand on the surf wave of the wave of God, and people are going to see the miraculous signs of what's going on. He's going to see that there's love, that there's power, that we can handle the power of God, that we know how to do that, that people can be touched and can be set free. I'm sorry, spitting on everybody. But that's my heart. That's my motivation. That's what I hear God saying, that you have everything you need. Let's start a wave and let's ride that wave. You know, my last scripture is, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone is the same God is at work. Now to each one of them, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Common good. All of us. Each one of us has a part. Each one of us is a joint a supporting ligament, that harvest is not going to reach its full potential unless each one of us steps up. And this is not a condemnation word saying, step up. This is Dad talking. Have your attention. Let's do something. No. This is more like the Heavenly Father is sitting up there and saying, okay, what I'm asking you to step up to is stepping up to relationship with me. Come into the Holy of Holies. Enjoy my presence. Let me flow through you. I'll give you the opportunities. I will dust off those old prophetic words. I'll dust off those things that you stepped out into in the past that you thought you were going to do. This is what God is doing in my life right now. And you felt like it fell on the floor, like nothing happened, like the words just dribbled off of your mouth. God says, that's okay. You were trying. You were stepping out in those things, and God is going to bring a reward and increase into your life. And that reward and that increase is people. You know, God's heart, God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would be saved, have everlasting life. And that's our portion. And he sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but through him to set the world free. Okay? That's our part. Go into the world. Hallelujah. I seem to have your all attention. I don't know. This is good. My wife had an idea of how to put some actions to this. I haven't actually got to my action steps, have I? Okay. Yeah, you can read them. They're not in your bulletin, I guess. But step up to your place and your purpose in harvest. That's the last one. You want to go to the last slide? Step up to your place and purpose in harvest. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you feel good. You're not here because you feel comfortable. But you're here because God has called you. He's planted you here. And you're an important part. You might not know what your part is now, but I can guarantee if you ask God, he'll show you. And the thing about God's part in the church, you're going to love it. It's going to be fun. It meets your calling. It fulfills what's going on inside of you. God doesn't call us to do something we don't like, you know. Everybody says, I don't want to serve God because he's going to send me to China or Africa. But actually, God puts that desire. The Bible says that delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You can interpret that way that God will change your desires. But I think the most accurate interpretation is God already knows your desires because he put them in there when he created you, because his desires for you are the same desires that you have for you, because he wants you to excel and to exceed and to do everything that's within your heart to do. Because God's put that in there. God put it in there because he loves you. And he wants you to step forward and take that and move forward. So, I guess I'd like to see people step out and do something, respond to the word of God. So, if you feel like, hey, I don't know what it means for me to step up, to take my place at harvest, but I want to, why don't you stand up? If you're a visitor, you can do it for your home church. You say, hey, I'm going to step up by home church, wherever I attend. I'm not selfish. I want to bless the whole body of Christ. I want the whole world to be saved. Hallelujah. So, Lord Jesus, what are you going to do now? How are you going to touch these people? I believe they're responding to you. They're not responding to me. They're not responding to emotional. But they're saying, God, I know you're doing something. I want to be a part of it. I want to receive the anointing. I want to receive the unction of your Holy Spirit to accomplish that. I want to lay down my problems, my hang-ups, my misconceptions about who I am. I want to hear, Lord Jesus, what do you say about me? Who am I? What is my destiny and my calling? Lord Jesus, just give me more of you. You've called me into relationship. The Christian walk is about relationship. It's not about accomplishing things. So, Lord Jesus, would you just touch each and every one of us? Release your anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. was sick. How do you do that? Well, you just let the power of God flow through you. You want to heal the sick in a greater way, just put your hands out and say, "Fill them, Lord. I want to heal the sick. I want to heal the sick. I want to heal the emotional burden. Use me. I want to give them my time. I want to give them my energy. I want to see Harvest Community Church to its full potential." Thank you, Jesus. Father, corporately, just give us a picture of what you're doing here. Go ahead, open your eyes. This is not close your eyes, but look around. See what God is doing. What is he doing? He's making us a body, joined and fit together, every part supplying. He's building that wall of whatever he's, that wall of strength that people can see. There were cities of refuge in the Old Testament where if you killed somebody when you were in trouble, you could run to these cities of refuge and there was protection. Harvest is that city of protection, of refuge for people that have been ravaged by the enemy, the people that have been sick, people that have been stolen.